lesson series, and we're probably approaching about the three-quarter pole in this series, and so we'll be rounding the corner toward home here in a couple of weeks. But it is such an important subject. Holiness is something that many churches do not even teach and preach anymore. They just talk about grace covering everything. But you know what? We want the whole Word of God. We don't want to pick and choose what we want, but we want the whole Word of God, and we want it to be a part of our lives. Because as I say very often, that if this walk being a Christian doesn't transform every area of your life, then you're really not walking it the way the Bible tells us to. Amen. And so we want all the truth. And so our text for this series is found in Colossians 2:6. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." We are complete in him. And then, not only are we complete in him, but he has given us everything that we need to be successful, to thrive in this world. That is 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And so our lives can be thoroughly furnished with the Word of God. He gives us everything that we need to be successful in the kingdom. We are not in this world just to survive, but we're in this world to thrive. He came to give us life, and life more abundantly. And so we do not have to fear the culture that we are in, because the culture that we are living is the culture that God meant for everyone. And so it's a joy to live this life of holiness. And then our call to holiness is Hebrews 12:14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And so we are called to holiness. The purpose of holiness is threefold. It is to please God, of course. We want to please him. We love him. Therefore, we want him to be pleased with us. Also, we want to display Christ. We want to allow the world to see the purity and the blessing that it is to live for Christ. And then we also want to live the good life. This is the way the Lord meant for everyone to live. Amen. Sometimes people talk about, you know, rules and guidelines and scriptures, and they feel like they are boxed in by those things. But you know what? They're not a prison cell. They're not walls to hold us in. They are guardrails on the way of life. And so we are so thankful for the principles of holiness, because when you live inside the realm of Scripture, when you live the principles of Scripture, there are blessings that come there. There are protection that comes there that you cannot find in the world, that you cannot find outside of that. The guardrails of holiness, the principles of Scripture, is what keeps us safe spiritually and physically. And the source of our holiness teaching is threefold as well. It is the Word of God. And we've already read that. All Scripture is given. And so it is for reproof. It is for instruction. It is to let us know what God desires and requires for our life. And then also the source of holiness teaching is our spiritual leadership and authority. It is pastors rightly dividing the word. And we need to follow leaders. We need to submit ourselves to leaders. We need to give honor to leaders. Amen. And October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And so we have chosen around here not to do anything special, because so many people have come to me and want to do something. And I just say, you know, you do it in September for our anniversary and for my wife's birthday. And so let's don't add one more thing, please. Let's just don't do it. But the best thing you can do to appreciate your pastor is to show up, right? Invest in the vision of the church. You know, I would lots rather have everyone here than to have the greatest gift you could think of, whatever it would be, that you could offer. And so we need to honor spiritual leadership. We need to walk in that and catch the vision that God has given us as a church and as leaders. And then the third source of holiness teaching is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. We need to be led by the Spirit. In fact, you cannot be a son or daughter of God unless you are led by the Spirit. You've got to be Spirit-led in your life. And so we don't want to be led by our carnal nature, but we want to be led by the Spirit. And so beyond just the Scripture, beyond the instruction of spiritual leaders, we need to have the Spirit leading us. Amen? And the Spirit will never lead us away from the Word, and the Spirit will never lead us away from spiritual leadership, but it will allow us to walk in the Spirit to a deeper place, a deeper realm in the Spirit. Because sometimes you may, the Spirit may convict you of something that it will not convict me of, because my experience, my past is not affected by certain things. And you may be affected by something that I'm not, and I may be affected by something you're not. And so when we get outside of the Scripture, there's places that God will lead us. He will lead us into sacrifices that other people may not have to make. He will lead us into commitments that other people may not have to make. We all have our own cross to bear, right? Jesus told those that came to him, he said, if any man would follow me, that he must first deny himself and then take up his cross. Not, he didn't say take up my cross. He said take up your cross. Everyone has a different way to walk. And so that's why it's not wise to compare yourself among yourselves, right? Because everybody has a different road. Everybody has a different set of circumstances that they have to deal with, right? And so as long as we're serving God, as long as we're walking on the narrow way, then there may be some convictions that come into our life. There may be some commitments that God calls us to. You know, not all of us are going to have to go to Africa like the Sims, but they're called there. And they're being obedient to their calling. Not all of us are called to Luxembourg like the Favors, but they are being obedient to their calling. And so every one of us needs to be led by the Spirit in our lives. And so we need to allow the Lord to call us to greater commitment in our own life, to greater submission, to greater sacrifice. And when we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, we will always, always, always be blessed. Amen? Amen. And so we want to be blessed in this life of holiness. And then we start talking about the application of holiness. We understand that holiness is not something we put on the outside, but it is something that we take in. We install it into our life by learning the Word, by studying it, by taking lessons like this that we're teaching. You know, my tradition around here, I don't know if you have picked up on it, those of you who've been here since from the very beginning. What I do is once a year, every other year, I deal with the subject of holiness in depth. And so we'll take a long series. Every other year, we will take a long series and go through holiness. Why? Because it needs to be reiterated. And we are gaining new people all the time, and people need to understand what the Scripture says about holiness. And then the other year, the off year, what I will do is I will take basically the same holiness lesson, and I will teach it in summary. And so I will take 1 or 2 weeks and then just hit it again. And so we're always reiterated because it's important. There are three cords of Bible doctrine that are the foundational truths that we must understand and we must love. Not just know, but we need to love it, right? the Bible says that they, because they love not the truth, God sent a strong delusion. So it's not enough just to put it in our mind, but we've got to learn to love it, because it is freedom, it is joy, it is peace, it is contentment. And so those three chords of Bible doctrine is, first of all, God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's always one. He's always been one. He will always be one. He was never three. He was never more than that. He is always one. Amen. And his name is Jesus. And when we call on the name of Jesus, we are calling on everything that God is. The fullness of the Godhead was in him bodily. That's in my text today. And so we understand that everything that is in him. And in heaven, there's one throne. There's one that's set up on the throne, and he's like unto the Lamb of God. So when we get to heaven, we're going to see the face of Jesus. We're going to see the nail-scarred hands. Amen. And just like he did on earth when Philip said, "Hey, show us the Father." He's going to say, "Hey, have I been so long with you? You do not know me. When you see me, you've seen the Father." And so when we call on the name of Jesus, we're calling on everything that God is. You don't have to worry about spending equal time with the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and Mary and Joseph and every other saint you can think about. It is all in Jesus. It's all in him. Amen? Praise God. I'm glad for that truth. And then the second chord of Bible doctrine is the new birth message. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the salvation message of Scripture that is interwoven all the way through the Old and New Testament. You can see types and shadows of it in the Old Testament, and you can see the truth of it and the result of it in the New Testament. And it is a foundational truth that if you're going to come to God, you must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then our faith compels us to walk in obedience. Amen? Except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom, he cannot enter the kingdom. And so we have got to obey the new birth message, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What a powerful truth that is. And if you were baptized any other way besides the name of Jesus, you need to be rebaptized. Amen? If you were baptized in any other way except for going down in the water, and the preacher said in Jesus' name, you need to be rebaptized. And there's an example of that in Acts 19. You can read it, right? The disciples of John came in contact with Paul, and he said, "Hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, "Well, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost." He said, "Well, how then were you baptized?" They said, "We were baptized under John's baptism." Because John went about before Jesus started his ministry, he was baptizing people unto repentance. It was an outward sign of repentance that Jesus was coming, the Messiah was coming. And so it wasn't enough for them to get wet. It wasn't enough for the John the Baptist, the greatest prophet. Jesus said he's the greatest prophet to baptize them. They had to be rebaptized the proper way. Amen. And then the third core of biblical doctrine is holiness. Is holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Right? God wants to make us whole, and he makes us whole through holiness. He makes us whole through holiness. The principles of Scripture lead us in every area of our life. And so we want to apply it. We want to apply it. Perfecting holiness and pleasing God. We've talked about that. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, some people will tell you that, hey, you just accept the Lord as your personal Savior and you have punched your ticket. You have settled your plan. You don't have to worry about it. You can do whatever you want to do. Go wherever you want. Be whatever you want to be, and you'll be saved. That is a lie of the devil. That is a doctrine of devils. Once saved, always saved is a lie. You cannot find it in Scripture, right? Just look at Paul. You can just look at the words of Paul. And Paul said, "Hey, I die daily. I bring my body under subjection. I bring my thoughts under subjection. I do this." Why does he do it? He says, "So that after I have preached to you, that I will not become a castaway." Amen. And so we see the examples in Scripture. Once saved, always saved is a lie. Can't get much plainer than that. It's a lie. Why is it a lie? Because the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take you to hell with him. Misery loves company. Right? And if he can get people thinking they're saved and they live like the devil, then he's got them. Right? Come on now. You don't believe me, just get to Revelation and people came to Jesus. Said, people are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We prayed in your name. We did this, all this. And he said, depart from me because I never knew you. They were deceived into believing that they had some sort of relationship with God, but they weren't walking in obedience to the Scripture. Amen. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We must be holy in attitude. Holiness starts on the inside and reflects outwardly into every area of our life. So if holiness starts on the inside, we have got to apply the principles of Scripture to our lives, and we have got to be careful what we take in. We talked about this last week. We've got to be careful what we watch and what we listen to and what we allow into our life, in our conversation, in our media intake, because if you take in trash, your temple's going to be full of trash. Right. I use the examples. You know, if you stop using your waste management at home, you know, to take your trash out to the curb or whatever, and you decide, oh, let's just bring it to the church. That's what happens when we ask for garage sale stuff. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. I've thrown enough stuff away to know it's the truth. Sister McGay, hey, we've had a few garage sales around here. I'm sure you know. Praise God. Oh, well, we can't use it. Let's take it to the church. In fact, sometimes it still shows up out in the shed. We're not even having a garage sale. People say, oh, well, I don't have room for it. Let's just take it to the church. Maybe somebody will use it. Amen. Or behind the building out there. We've got some junk out there that we don't know where it came from either. Praise God. But holiness is so important. We've got to be careful what we take in, because if we take in trash, then our holy temple that God has purified, that God has ministered to us by his blood and washed away our sin, then we just take in stuff that shouldn't be in our lives. That is not even logical to think that we could serve God by taking in the junk that our world has to offer from Hollywood and from other media, because it affects our thinking. We've got to have holy thinking, right? We've got to bring into captivity every thought, not just sinful thoughts, but negative thoughts. Sometimes we just get in that realm of negative thinking, right? I can't, I won't, I'll never be better. And the enemy will use that against us. If we allow negative thinking to take up residence in our mind, it will destroy our prayer life. It will hinder our worship. It'll ultimately drive us away from the church because we feel condemned, right? But if you feel condemned today, that is not God. God will convict you, because conviction is an act of love that says you're wrong, but you can be right. You're on the outside, but you can come on in. That's conviction, right? Condemnation says you're wrong and you'll never be right. You might as well not try. And that is a word from the devil. And many times he uses our own thoughts to fight against us. And then we need to be holy in conversation. Conversation is not just the words we use and not the words we hear, but it is our full interaction with mankind. We've got to be careful. That's why we don't go some places. That's why we don't interact in some areas, because we've got to be holy in conversation. The word conversation in Scripture was more than just verbal communication. It was how you related to people around you, the influence that you allowed in your life. And we've got to be careful. And so this week we want to talk about holy human relations. God wants the Scripture to really guide us in every area of our life. It's so important for us to be honest people of honesty and integrity. Ephesians 4 and 25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Exodus 20 and 16 says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Matthew 5 and 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Deuteronomy 5 and 19, "Neither shalt thou steal." This is governing our interaction with the world. We need to be Christians wherever we go. Christian is not a badge that we pick up on Sunday morning or for lucky Wednesday night if somebody has that on their schedule. Hopefully they do. It's not a badge we pick up on a scheduled moment, but it becomes who we are. We have got to be a Christian. When we have a relationship with God, when we repent of our sin, when we are baptized with Him in baptism in Jesus' name, and we are filled with His Spirit, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, then every area of our life must be affected by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And so when we come into the church, if we are really allowing God to move in our lives and take over in our world and be kingdom in my kingdom of my heart, if we're really allowing Him to be the God that He's supposed to be in us, then it's going to affect every relationship, everything that we do. It's going to make us a better husband. It's going to make us a better wife. It's going to make us a better father, a better mother. It's going to make us a better employer, a better employee. It's going to make us a better neighbor, right? It's going to make us a better citizen. Praise God. Because it is who we are. It's not just something we do. It's not a set of actions that we take, but it must become who we are, right? When you come into the church, if you allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to work on you, it will transform who you are. Old things will be passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The old man will die, and there will be a new man in his place. And what is that new man? The new man loves God. Loves people, loves truth. Amen. We must be transformed in every area of life. If you're really being affected, being changed by the power of God and by the Word of God, then every part of you will change. The way you talk to people, the relationships that you have will be transformed. You will be a better worker on the job, right? Because remember, we're not working for the man. We're not working for the woman, whoever your boss is. We're working for God, right? You know, my favorite preacher, I always talk about Brother J.T. Pugh. I love what he said. He said when he was young, he had a boss that was just so overbearing. He was always negative. He was always just verbally beating people up, you know, just putting them down. Nobody could ever do anything right. And so he said, "I would wake up in the morning and I just dreaded going to work." He said, I just didn't want to go. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to hear it. I just couldn't take one more negative word. He said, but one day I was transformed. I was praying about my job and about this situation. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, "You're not working for him. You're working for me." And he said it transformed my life. Because as that man was beating me down and I didn't want to do a good job for him, I realized I wasn't doing a good job for him. I was doing a good job for God. I was being a man of integrity for God. I was being a great employee for God. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. That doesn't mean that those people that see your good works, they're good people. They may be evil people. They may be mean people. They may not appreciate you, but somewhere down deep in them, and other people will observe how you deal with those that are unruly, that are hard to deal with, and ultimately, someone is going to glorify God because you're being a Christian. Amen. Our nature is to fight back, right? That's our nature. Our nature is say, you hit me, I'm going to hit you. That's our nature. You don't even have to teach a kid that, right? Well, why'd you hit him? Well, he hit me first. What, you know? Why'd you take his toy? Well, he took my toy. It is retribution. It's revenge. That is natural. But God has not called us to be natural. He has called us to be supernatural. He's not called us to act like our flesh wants to act, but he has called us to act like he would act. Right? He gave us the greatest example. He took all the punishment. He took all the humiliation and the humbling on this earth. They beat him with their hands. They plucked his beard. They beat him on the back. And the Bible says that he was like a sheep before her shearers. He was dumb. He said not a word. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he did not. Love took him to the cross. Love held him there. Amen. And so no matter how people treat you, if you'll return hate with love, if you'll return anger with kindness, I promise you that God will make a way, that God will reward you. We are supposed to be holy, holy in our human relations. We are showing forth Christ to our world. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us to turn the other cheek, right? He smites us on one cheek, turn the other cheek. We have got to be people of love. Anybody can get angry. Just because you can get angry and you can ball up your fist doesn't make you a man. Come on now. It takes more of a man to be gentle, to be kind, especially when you're in a place of power and you have the ability to destroy others. There's no greater act of love than to withhold what you could do to get back at people. Amen. You know, in my life as pastor, as leader, I've had people talk about me. I've had people accuse me. I've had people leave me, you know. And I could get up in the pulpit and I could just, you know. Because I have the mic. Don't mess with the guy with the mic because he could always say something, right? But you know what? Holiness with God is not saying the things that you could say. It's not saying the things that you could say. It is withholding your anger. It is offering love and kindness. Amen. Praise God. I say this very often, and I say it because it's true. There is not one person that come through that back door that I wouldn't hug their neck and love them, because I don't have one enemy in this world. I don't have one. Now, there may be some people out there that think they're my enemy, but I don't think of them that way. So if they're thinking that way, if they're angry with me about something, they're the ones being miserable, not me. Right? Because I want to be holy. Oh, it doesn't mean I don't get aggravated sometimes. It doesn't mean I don't get hurt sometimes. But you know what? As soon as it pops up, I put it down. I put it down. When I get in an uncomfortable situation like that, and I see that old man rising up in me, like Paul said, when I would to do good, evil is present with me, and I see that, oh, I'm going to get them. They've already messed with the wrong man. No, I put it down. Why? Because I got to be right. I got to be right. I want to be righteous before God. Amen. And that's a good way to put it. I'd rather be righteous than right. Right? Sometimes you can win an argument. Sometimes you're on the right side of it, and you could beat that thing, right? Sometimes you win an argument and lose a friend. Sometimes you'll win an argument and lose influence. But you know what? I'd rather be righteous than right. Because you know what? Truth is always going to come out in the end anyway. Truth is always going to show itself. And so if you keep your spirit right, because sometimes you can be right and be wrong. You can be right on the subject, but you can be wrong in your spirit. But I'd rather be righteous. We've got to be holy in our interaction with people. We need to be holy in our marriage relationship. It's so important for us. The foundation of the church is the family. The foundation of the church is the family. And so we have got to guard our marriages. We've got to guard our marriages. It's so important. Amen. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. There is a beautiful relationship that God has ordained, and that is the relationship of marriage. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and that he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Amen. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. This goes back to what I was talking about a while ago. Not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Notice, this just handles all of it. It handles everything I've already been talking about, our relationships with people, but it starts with the marriage. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the world wants you to think that men and women are equal. We're different. I know that's shocking. That's shocking. But let me also dispel some things, because, you know, men, you know, we want to think we're better. But no, we're not. We're different. God requires some things of us that he doesn't require of ladies. He requires some things of ladies that doesn't require of men. And so God made male and female different. And in our world where people are trying to pick and choose what gender they're in, right? It's a lie of the devil. They will never change their chromosomes. It will never happen. If you were born a female, you will die a female. It doesn't matter what you do in between. Doesn't matter how many surgeries you have. Doesn't matter how you dress. If you were born a female, you will die a female, and vice versa, male to male. It's the way it is. We are different, and God requires of us different things. He has called us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. You know, we as men, we love to say, oh, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Oh, but we have the greater submission because we are called, we are required to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And guess what Christ did? Christ died for the church. He surrendered his power for the church. He made himself of no reputation for the church. You know, we live in a world today, men want to walk around, oh, yeah, I'm the man. No. If you're a real man, you will humble yourself. If you're a real man, you will lead your home in spiritual things. If you're a real man, you will put your wife above yourself. Come on now. Let's get quiet in here. The onus is on the man. I've said it a million times and I'll keep saying it. We must be the peacekeepers and peacemakers in our home. We are priests unto our families. What did the priests do in the Old Testament? They made the sacrifice. They spilled the blood. They carried the blood into the holiest of holies and the holy place and the holiest of holies, and it was offered unto God. What did they do? They made peace between a sinful people and a holy God. And so in our homes, in our families, we are priests. We are priests, and we must make peace. Now, sometimes peace can't be made, but you need to try to be a peacemaker, right? We all need to guard our marriages. Guard our marriages. Wives, love your husbands. Submit yourselves unto their spiritual leadership. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Love your wife better than you love yourself. That's what the scripture says. There's beautiful balance in every area of scripture. Submit yourselves unto your husbands, right? But oh, the balance of that is Christ is love your wife as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents. The balance of that is provoke not your children to wrath, right? There's a balance in everything in Scripture. And so some people want to pull Scripture out and use it as a hammer. Say, hey, I told you I'm right. You've got to submit yourself unto me. Well, but we don't want to submit ourselves unto the Word. If you're going to have a beautiful marriage, you've got to walk in the Lord. You've got to walk in submission. Amen. We also believe in the sanctity of human life. Exodus. Man, Sunday school was really early tonight today. Amen. Maybe a few escaped or something. I keep looking at my watch thinking I'm going over. They're out there. Exodus 20 and 13. Thou shalt not kill. It is a foundational command of Scripture, right? John 14 and 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. We must respect the sanctity of life. Amen? I'm not going to be political today, but I'm going to make a statement. Abortion is killing a human life. It is murder. It is wrong. It is terrible. It is horrible. And anyone that supports it, votes for it, makes laws for it, opposes laws against it, they need to be voted out of office. I don't care what their affiliation. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, Tea Party, whatever other party you can think of, right? I don't care who they are. They cannot violate Scripture. It is a foundational truth that life is precious. Amen. I know it's not popular in our world today, but the church has got to stand up for it. And so November 6th is rolling around here pretty quick, and you better pray and you better do your study, because you don't want to be voting for somebody that's voting for abortion. That's right. It's tight, but it's right. You don't have to like it. I don't really care if you like it. It's the truth. You cannot vote for someone that is for abortion. It is a deal breaker. I thought I was in the church today. Can we just get a hand clap of praise? Amen. Come on now. We're not talking about political parties, because I don't care who they are. There's liars on every side of the aisle. You can't trust them, right? But I tell you, that's a deal breaker for me. That's a deal breaker. It should be a deal breaker for all of us. Amen. Why don't we stand? I can't believe it's so tight in here. I'm almost aggravated. Let's all stand. I'm almost frustrated that he got tight when I said that. I'm going to say it again. You don't need to vote for somebody that's for abortion. Amen. Come on. It's killing. It's murder. It's wrong. It's a deal breaker. Amen. I don't care what else you think. That's a deal breaker. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. I may have to pray through. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of life, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, that you have given us direction in our lives. Lord, I ask you to touch our hearts and our minds, our lives today. Lord, that we go into this second hour with worship and praise. Lord, I ask you to let your power rain down in this place. Let your anointing break the yoke, God. Lord, I ask you to fill people with the Holy Ghost, that you would touch them with your power. In the name of Jesus, touch Camino de Vida today. Lord, touch the Rock Church today. Touch Grace Point today. Lord, touch the Pentecostals of Flower Mound. Lord, touch Way of Life Africa, God. Touch every area of the ministry today. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We give you honor, God. Oh, let's magnify the Lord together right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Take a break and we'll start worship here in just a few moments.